And we can maybe turn the lights off on the stage. Is that better? Is that clearish? Can you see it? Fantastic. So as I said last week, this year we're really shaping our journey around mission. What is mission? Who leads us on this mission? Whose mission is it? It's not our mission. It's God's mission. And we're partnering with him. And so as I sat with this and explored it, and we've talked as an eldership a bit around this, what is it to have a year of mission? And then I realized, hang on, that's not very good. It's not a year of mission. It's a life of mission, isn't it? We're always on mission. And so 2018, a life of mission. This is going to inform our practice. The first half of the year, we're going to be journeying towards what is in one sense a culminating in a missions trip to China. Really looking forward to that. If you're interested, come and see me. We're hoping to go in early July, connecting with the school holidays for about a 10-day trip. That should be awesome. That will inform our second half of our year. Having spent the first half of the year on global missions, learning about what God is doing across the world, we're going to bring that back down into our local context. What is God doing and wanting to do in and through us and around others around us in our local community? A year of mission, a life of mission. So that's where we're heading this coming year. We're currently on our series of new. It's the new year, so we lean into this phrase or this word, new. And so last week I ended with some words from the end of not the beginning, not new, but at the end. I know, I messed it up. Towards the end of a book. Well, this time we're going to the last book in the Bible. We're looking at Revelation, the passage, I am making everything new. So let's read this together. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven, like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there'll be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. Then he said to me, write this down. For what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs and the waters of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we open your word this morning, we believe just that it's your word. We want your words to feed us, to transform us, to change us more like you. We want to know who you are. We want to know what you have prepared. So we turn to your written word. We thank you for it. We want our lives to be in line with it. So as we listen this morning, give us ears to hear. May I speak faithfully to your word. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Well, Revelation 21, 1 to 8. This is an incredible picture. An incredible picture of what is to become. This new place is likened to a beautiful bride coming down from heaven. A beautiful bride. Yesterday we saw a lovely young man and woman commit to each other. And in that service, I shared how God is changing us, transforming us to be more like him, full of grace, truth, and love. How he takes two and makes one. Here again, in this passage, God is taking two, heaven and earth, and making them one, bringing them together. A bride and a groom, Jesus and the church, heaven and earth, made one, made new. Our God is on this mission, a mission to come and dwell amongst us. Look, God's throne is now amongst his people. God himself will be with them, and they will be his people. This is good news. God with us, Emmanuel. And while this passage speaks to the future, it's a vision of what for us is the future, as is written in the book of Isaiah. This new thing, it has already begun. He, God, in the person of the Son, came and dwelt amongst us. When he returned to heaven, he sent another, the Spirit of God, not just to live amongst us, but to live within us. Wow! But even that miracle is but a foreshadow of what is to come. Something greater is coming. When we have the fullness of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, together as one, present with us. That's mind-blowing. We know what it is to have the presence of God, his Spirit with us now. We can read and find out what it was like to have the person of Jesus, God, the person of Jesus, amongst his people. This is coming. This is coming. When we are with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God in his fullness. God in his fullness. In one sense, it's sad that it's this next verse that is really known so well by so many. He will wipe away every tear from their eye, and there'll be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Now don't get me wrong. This too is good news. But it's not the really good news. This is the fruit of the good news. Let me illustrate it this way. I have to confess, I like Rachel's baking. And this week, when she baked my favourite chocolate slice, and I find out that she was going to give it to her workmates, I was not impressed. But I love her baking. I love that she keeps our home clean. Chauvinistic pig. I love that she looks amazing in her summer swimsuit. I love that she plants tomatoes and raspberries and strawberries, and that on occasions brings me one before Ben finds them. I love it when she scratches my back. Not metaphorically, like literally scratches my back. She's known in our family as a five-star scratcher. I love all these things about Rachel and so much more. But all of these things are but the fruit, the outcome of having her present. I love having her around. I love Rachel because she is with me. I'm just happy knowing that she is present. This incredible, unbelievable state of being free from death and pain and sorrow is only possible because the fullness of the presence of God will reside with us. That's the good news. It's like at Christmas time. We see a child getting stuck on the outside of the present with the wrapper. Wow, I've got a present! And never actually opening the present itself and discovering the true present, which is, for us, the presence of God. Look, I am making everything new. It's not the first time that God has spoken these words over us. Again, in the book of Isaiah, we have God's recorded. Now, this was written 500 years before this book by John was written. A prophetic word pointing to the fact that he will be their Savior. He being Jesus, a promise given to the people of Israel. For I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun it. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness, and I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. This is his plan. This is not a haphazard sequence of events. This is his plan. As it says in verse 6, I am the Alpha and the Omega. This phrase of beginning and end, we find it peppered throughout Scripture. It means so much more than beginning. It means the source, the place that everything is drawn from. This is what God does, the initiator of life. This is why this newness spoke of here is so powerful, because the one speaking it is the one who creates and sustains all things by his very being. Equally, this pronouncement by God that he is the Omega, this end is not like the end of a sentence, a full stop. Rather, it is the end that one finds at the end of a journey, the telos, the goal, the whole aim, the whole point of it, the consummation of all things. This is what we are walking towards. Do you know this? Do you wonder about it? Do you wonder about being in the presence of God? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's the whole point. It's the whole point of our existence. Again, the same image of springs of water are an echo of the words that God spoke again from that time ago, in the passage in Isaiah. Rivers satisfying a parched land. Of course, this water is a metaphor speaking of the very Spirit of God that will sustain us, fulfilling every need. This is the promise given to us, those who are victorious. Victorious not by their own hand, but by the grace of Christ. By being in him, this is what awaits those, we, who become children of God. But the writer of Revelation goes on, recording what the angel continues to say, which is equally important for us to know. It tells us in verse 8, but cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Again, some passages of Scripture make for uncomfortable reading. But know them we must. For this place of destruction, this last death, is as real as heaven itself. I say this not to move you with fear, but to warn you of what life without the presence of God is like. To show you what we are like when we are left to ourselves, full of darkness. Again, Scripture tells us that this is not God's desire. Rather, it is that none should perish. This destruction is of our own making. Whereas the home that God has made for us, the one that has no pain, where the final tears are wiped away, is possible because he is with us. And unbelievably, the same God who has made this place of eternal dwelling has also made the way. He's made the way for us to be with him. So what is this way? How do we get to be part of this new thing? This new earth, this new heaven? Well, 2 Corinthians tells us that for anyone that is in Christ, they are a new creature. We've been given a new nature, one that is washed of all evil, gone, set free from our brokenness. Is this our reality now? Well, not for me. Not in its fullness. But it has already begun. Have you not seen it? Again, this work has been done by Christ himself. He says, I have begun a good work in you. And I, Christ says, I will be faithful to complete it. Your hope of being in the presence of God is in the work that he is doing in you. I love how in God's economy, new is made from the old. This is the ultimate upcycling. He is transforming me. He's transforming you. He takes that which is broken and remakes it. Again, Scripture says, this amazing picture, does not the potter have the right to break what he is making and remold it? If it's not to his liking, if it's not to his purposes. What a hope. What a hope. As my maker, he has the right to remake me. Personally, I can't count the number of times that God, by his grace, has put me back on the wheel to reshape the brokenness that I've brought about in my life. So praise God. We are being made new. This is our hope. This year, as you do whatever it is that you do, do so in the knowledge that God has prepared a place for you and is preparing you for a place. Let's pray. God, you're amazing. You're amazing. This one short little passage explodes my mind. You have a plan. A plan for this year. A plan for next year. A plan for eternity. And you want to write us into that plan. Weave us into your very being. Drawing us together as one. What a God. What a God. Thank you that you are making a way. Thank you that you invite us and that you desire none should be lost from this weaving. You want to make a tapestry, a beautiful tapestry of all that you've created. God, we long for that day. We long for the fullness of your presence. But for now, you've given us a foretaste, foreshadow of that, presence of your Holy Spirit. We thank you that we can have you live inside us, the very presence of God indwelling in us. Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, I pray for those that have not asked you to come and dwell within them. That you'd keep knocking. You keep inviting yourself to their home. We too, Lord Jesus, as people that carry your presence, we commit ourselves to you, that we'd be an extension of that knock. That we would invite those around us into our home. We'll share all that we have to demonstrate all that you are. Help us be a people that are faithful to you, that talk of you, that echo your love to all that we encounter. Thank you, God. Amen. Well, I hope you're enjoying our summer series of nice short messages, of a nice time together. We've got tea and coffee out the back. I encourage you, get in there. Be Jesus to each other.